Hey, welcome to Breaking Initiative. Don't forget to like, subscribe on YouTube. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. My name is Brett.
And I'm Rob. This is the show where we break down our own tips and tricks to help you get the most out of your tabletop games. We share some of our favorite tools from around the community, discuss some of our past experiences, as well as new things happening in the hobby. And Brett, I don't know if you know this, but I have a special announcement to make.
What's that, Rob?
We have hit on our first video 78 views on YouTube specifically. And we've now hit 10 thumbs ups.
Is it because of me? Who says it? Is it because I say to do the thumbs up? Is that what it is?
You say it probably at least 10 times a video, so maybe they're just doing it like...
I try. Like,
I got to make more YouTube accounts so I can just keep throwing thumbs up for these guys. And 8 subscribers. Thank you, 8 subscribers out there, whoever you are. Yes.
Okay.
I count every one of you.
All right, so today we are talking about sharing the spotlight at the table. Nice. Rob, you want to hit the first point?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is really in a broad sense. I think this is something that everybody should know about going into Dungeons & Dragons, even for like a first-time thing. We've never even really done a video about just the basics of Dungeons & Dragons. This is probably the one that really hits that the most. Because I feel like being prepared for this will make it to where you are a less... what is the word I'm thinking of? Absolutely obnoxious asshat of a player to everybody else around you. And it can be really hard if you've never done this before. Yes.
Yeah. Here, let me go off of that a little bit. I 100% agree. And I'll even say where I started was just the idea of I'm going to create this person that I want to be. That's exactly what D&D is be that person that you want to be. Also understand that other people at the table are doing the same thing. So you still have to have a sense of camaraderie and sharing.
Right.
Yeah.
It comes from playing video games. A lot of us in the hobby started off playing video games. And it's you can really, especially those games like RPGs that get really invested in the story, you can become like a huge fan of these characters, right? And you you want that for your character. But for some reason, all of us, I feel like all of us, even the ones that we might be ashamed to admit, if someone says they've never done this, I think they're just ashamed to admit it. Or their first character, or one of their first characters, is this loner, lone wolf, dark, like anti-hero who just like
whatever,
gets
it's
stuff
what my character
done.
Would do.
Yeah. Right, but he also like sits in the dark corner and like doesn't care about teamwork because he's like, whatever, why don't we just go down there and kick the door down, you know? And
Yeah. By the way, the analogy of a lone wolf is not good because they're the ones that get kicked out of the pact, and normally it's because they're old or they lost their teeth or whatever. Here's the thing. I remember, again, I'm talking about myself. Strider from The Hobbit, you know what I mean? Aragorn, you know what I mean? So you think, oh, he's the guy, I was in the back of the tavern just watching you guys as you guys came in. Yeah, I'm mysterious. And like, hey, that's cool playing into that. That's fine. There's your moment as you're introduced to a party. Still want to talk about sharing. Now, the first thing that I really wanted to hit, because we're like, well, what about me? What about how am I supposed to do my thing? The first word that I want to talk about would be, and we're going to talk about a few different words. Some of them are going to be sentences, but this one will be patience. Being patient. Something that I have been learning from the last few years of playing is you will get your spotlight. The DM is also trying to keep track of everything. And so as he's trying to keep track of, he'll make sure that, you know, hey, this tonight, as we go through tonight, this might be an arc that's more like involving you. And so you're going to kind of get your spotlight. But hey, whenever that arc is fading away and it might go towards somebody else more specific or more or less the whole group, don't always be like, oh, well, this is about me, this is about me, this is about me. Mm-hmm. Understand, you'll get your time. Be patient. Don't fret. You know, I mean, It's not like you're sitting at the table for 45 minutes, even to an hour, right? Because that goes by so fast. You're people are there mostly for at least 2 hours, and that's Adventure League, or you know, that's at least two. And then you come back week after week. So be patient. You will get your time.
Right, and also I forgot to mention this. We play a lot of like where we really get into RP for a lot of our games. There's a lot of people that do that, and that's kind of I see like almost like a trend. There's a lot of people that just want to go there and play some Dungeons and Dragons. Really stealing the spotlight applies to that too, and your patience is required for either of these scenarios, whether we're talking role playing or just like allowing other people to even just make decisions in the game. There's really almost two aspects to this patience. We can kind of split this in half. There's the role-playing aspect, which you're already hitting on. And that is where the DM is really going to tap into people's backstories or hint at certain things where maybe somebody has like a special contact in the area, right? And that's involved with what's going on right now in this upcoming mission. Perhaps you're going to go into the Thieves Guild. You're playing the rogue. Obviously, this mission isn't going to be about that wizard who went to wizard school, you know, at the academy and was a teacher. Right. He has his tenure or whatever. So it's nothing to do with him. But he's going to be a great help at rooting out some sort of, like, spy in the Thieves Guild or whatever, and whatever that is. But you just have patience, wizard. It's Rogue's turn. Yes, this is Rogue's mission, but you are there to support him and be able to accomplish something. You might find out some deep-seated thing about his long-lost father, you know? Who knows what the hell is going to happen? Only the DM, I suppose. But it's much more rewarding at the end for everybody involved, because now you had a share of being involved in that instead of just being like, oh, this is dumb. Let's just blow this guy up and, you know, we'll just go back to doing something else, you know. Let's go back to the wizard school. We might have something there.
Right. Yeah, just constantly suggest things to like, go back to me. Here's the thing, too. And I know this might come up a few times per video or whatever, but the DM is a player as well. And if the DM is a player and he also notices that there's one really selfish player... whether his skill sets are, or maybe just the person's very dominant, it's very hard to get around that player of like, this person's really trying to take everything, like, and he's always being, you know, center stage. The DM's not having fun either. Because the DM wants the players to have fun. And if just one's having fun, he's like, yeah, but I want everybody to be like, hey, that was a good night. That's when I DM'd, that was how that worked for me. I was like, as long as they had fun, I was having fun. Oh, okay, I made sure everybody shared. I actually was able to spread it out. You know, everybody got a little bit of the spotlight throughout the day, these kind of things. And so the DM also is a part of that, to where whenever there's a selfish player, it's not just that one selfish player is winning. It's even the DM and the whole everybody else is also falling.
Right. That's a key trait of like a good dungeon master, I think. Somebody who is able to be sensitive to who's enjoying the game and trying to focus on just a shared enjoyment for everybody. And somebody, it's almost like I like to use the analogy of a cook. It's the kind of person that could make a dish for everybody and not have any himself and enjoy it, watching everybody else enjoy the dish. If you have that personality type, you have the perfect personality to really get started and really delve into it, make it really easy. It kind of comes naturally as a DM. Not to say if you're not like that, you can't be a DM, but it comes naturally if you have that personality trait. Obviously, DMs slip into being players. And some DMs, they can bring that to the table as a sort of like a way to kind of share that. And getting into it a little bit, let's say you're on a game that's not very roleplay heavy. If you're playing a barbarian, you're always, you know, knocking down the door. If you're playing a rogue, you might insist that you always go scout ahead in front of everybody, you know? And if you're playing the bard, you are literally, you know, you might be always saying, hey, I'm going to be the guy who talks to everybody because I have the highest stats. It's almost built into the game almost as their excuse.
Right.
And so they just make themselves the barbarian, no. Don't mind him, my friends, you know, we're just, they're not as smart as me. And then you just go on and engage the conversation, whatever direction, without heeding anything anybody wants to say. It can get very tedious, very fast. Even just playing stat based regular old Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a session zero can help wean that kind of stuff out with figuring out what kind of table is it. Hey, if it's a if it is a straight up basically a giant dungeon crawl and maybe the shopping sessions are just like quick, like yeah, there's a shop, boop, boop, boop. All right, you get that? Okay, now we're off to the next. We're going. And there's not much like voice role play or anything like that. That's cool. Everybody knows that's what we're playing. Some people are into that. Do that. If it's not that, I play specifically a monk with a -1 charisma. I talk probably the most like a bumbling idiot. And also like, I don't know, I fail all kinds of saves on purpose. That's fun. You know, I also strategize and, you know, wait for my time to do those kind of things too. But yeah, taking it to also the realistic aspect of like, this barbarian is not going to just never talk, you know, because they have a low charisma score. Things to think about. Anything else for that one? Because I'm going to move on kind of the next one.
No. I mean, I could say something about my character too. So he's another character. There's an example. It's almost like I built his charisma on subverting a trope. He's a fighter, but he's like a sort of like noble kind of fighter, like a knight kind of person. And so you'd think that he'd be like really charismatic because he actually talks like in a way that makes him sound very charismatic. But he's also like got something about him that makes him not really sure of himself. So he kind of might stumble on his words when he's trying to make a point or something like that, or stall, or, you know, kind of space out for a moment. And then he has like a negative in his charisma. So, but I love role playing as him. It's one of my favorite characters I've ever role played as. So, if we just always left that to just, I mean, it would just, everybody would always have the bard or sorcerer role playing all the characters. That just wouldn't be fun. So,
that's our group that we play in. Our group, listen, we're Critical Role fans to some degree. A few of us are, and the other ones kind of play off of each other. We're heavy in the role playing to where we might not get too much done, but we had a lot of fun that night. You know, that's kind of how it works. Okay, Rob, you actually brought up this point. Being a fan of your other players, and we just kind of just thought about the idea of empathy with that.
Right. So this is something, again, that's great advice just for a DM in general, but I wish more players would adopt this idea of, like, you ever watch like Walking Dead or Game of Thrones or some long-running series where the characters kind of, you know, it's a sort of fantasy setting where the characters kind of like build on each other and change over time. They're dynamic. And you see them grow from that point early on, and you wonder what's going to happen next. The end of the season, you know, there's more seasons coming. It's like, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next to this character? And you start thinking about like all their, you know, friendships and allies, their enemies. There's a lot of room to do that in Dungeons and Dragons for the characters. Like it comes naturally as the DM to really be attracted to your own NPCs, because you spend so much time thinking about it, but to really become a fan of everybody else's characters, to wonder about that rogue and, you know, his backstory and where he came from and why he acts that way, and, you know, what vendetta he has against his father or whatever, you know, who burned down his village, or the wizard and how he got kicked out of his academy, and even though he had tenure and now he's like just scraping up money here and there, you know what's his story, what's gonna happen next. And as these like story points hit, to really like be invested in those characters helps you build, I feel, a better story for them in the part of the DM. But it can actually really help you as just a player, because then you can help them in a way, sort of your own character in the game can kind of invest in them a little bit. It kind of is. Yeah. Anyway, you're venturing with them. You're risking your life.
Right.
In the game.
Right. Yeah. You know, and actually, I literally just thought of this, is like, think of maybe just one or two other players at the table, maybe just one other player at the table that your character didn't know before this, and just go, you know what? At the end of the whole campaign, if we win and do all this, how are they going to still be in my life?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Interesting way to think about it.
You know, how is that going to happen? And to where it's like, you're going to retire with these. You guys literally fought, like, life and death. I mean, not to, like, bring too much, like, drama or crazy stuff in. Think of, like, military people. Like, they have, like, a bond whenever they leave mm-hmm. the military. And, like, they... Like, it's like, a lot of times they do all kinds of stuff all throughout the year. Their families vacation together. They do all kinds of stuff all the time. So think, like, oh, this is somebody that you were in the trenches with, you know? And so think that way, like, after this, not just like, oh, I'm the wizard, and I'm going to be the top wizard, and I'm done. And that might be cool if that's, like, your thing, but then also, like, who else is going to be involved? Who's going to come visit you? Who are you going to go visit, you know? And as mm-hmm. you're thinking that while you're playing... You got, like, you're gonna, it's gonna make you want to invest.
And that is the kind of play that makes it so heartbreaking when somebody just dies, you know, falls into some lava or gets decapitated, you know. It's like, I thought he was gonna meet my wife. I thought, oh no.
No. I know.
I had this picture in my head, but that happens in real life. We have this picture in our head. What's going to happen after all this, you know? And and that makes it much more personal once something's lost or something is saved. Like, they were almost lost, and then it came neck and neck. Oh, my God, I thought we were going to lose, Willie or whatever his name is. I don't know. I pulled that name out of nowhere. He's with us.
You change maybe your strategy going forward. Like, how do we never lose him again? How do we possibly make sure he's okay? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So our next point was generosity. Right. You want to tackle the first part of that?
Yeah. So this one's a little more abstract. I don't think I've ever heard anybody really talk about this. That's why I thought it would be an interesting thing to bring up. Especially in regards to sharing the spotlight. Because when we talk about sharing the spotlight, we're literally... we're figuratively referring to the literal spotlight that is in, like, a stage acting, right? And there's something about called being a generous actor. I'm not gonna pretend like I'm some sort of, like, acting snob or something.
We're talking about drama improv in high school.
Yeah. I was in high school, and I did some improv and basically just channeled that in Dungeons & Dragons and never looked back. Being a generous actor means leaving something for someone else. It often refers to almost leaving something, like, emotional for someone to pick up, like, what you're leaving them to continue that emotional story or what you're saying, which can be a little abstract for some people that aren't really, like, that into that heavy RP. But it can also mean being generous when you yourself have the spotlight, which is the thing we didn't touch on. When you have the spotlight, you have a responsibility yourself to not be hogging your own spotlight, which almost seems counterproductive in a way to everything else we were saying. Because we were saying a moment ago, be patient, wait for your own spotlight. But no, when you're being generous with your own spotlight, you can find that there's, like, some sort of, like, synergy you can build up with the rest of the part, which is really the whole point of the game. You know, when you're in combat, it's the synergy between the characters' tactics. When you're not in combat and you're delving through the plot instead of the dungeon, it's you're synergizing off of each other's stories and personalities to really find something that your character wouldn't have found on his own. Like, yes, everyone could stand in the background while you go delving through the dungeon of the Thieves Guild to get your revenge on that one guy who betrayed you and your father, or is your father. I forgot what I said earlier. isn't it more interesting if the dwarf fighter, who really doesn't really said very much about himself, suddenly starts opening up because he remembers his father who died a long time ago, you know, and they're able to kind of relate a little bit on that moment of, like, you know, whatever it is, all that weird father issues I just went to for some reason that are unresolved. And then that's almost like if he somehow got the final blow on something, you know, he's almost doing it for him to help out his new companion. And then everybody grew together instead of one person saying, all right, I checked that thing off of that thing I came up with in Mission Zero. That plot point is done. Time to move to Dwarf's plot point. Oh, thanks. Right. We're going to go to the dwarf home and find the dwarves. And no. Find what is... Okay, my character, for instance, right? That knight character I mentioned? He has these sort of unresolved things with... you know, he feels like something's almost haunting him from his past, right? It's almost in the form of, like, literal shadows. And there's a shadow cleric a grave cleric who taps into the Shadowfell. And there's a little bit there, and I just pick up on it just a little bit, just a little bit when it happens, like a question or a... asking, they're almost like at odds, but in a friendly way, in which they're trying to find out more about each other. I feel like, but I never just say, "Hey, everybody, me and this character are just going to talk about this for 20 minutes." I want everyone to know. I dabble a little bit here and I dabble a little bit there, and I find it's more interesting. And then I can come back and just bring up all that stuff when the time comes. Somebody's spotlight is shared with me. Or I decide to share my spotlight with someone else instead of me just RPing at the DM, you know.
So I'll even tell you. So we're playing through Strahd, and so it's all super creepy, right? And so when we first started, there was this firbolg in there, and he's all like talking all nice and whatever, you know. And I'm all freaked out as my character, and it's creepy. But then I actually grew to like this character because like he was like a sense of like. Something that was just different, that wasn't scary and horrific, you know, like in Barovia. So I clung to that as like, okay, like we're not going crazy. This isn't a dream. And all right, here's a little bit of a happiness kind of light that he kind of was, you know. And then me and him eventually had a conflict, and then these kind of things happened, and that really broke my heart. You know what I mean? Like that really affected me in all kinds of ways. And we played it out as a character. It was great. And now it's like we're coming back, but that was little things I built upon, and a few of the other characters, you know, hired me, and then we got stuck and thrown into Barovia, and that's how everything all started. And so, like, there's like a sense of like responsibility that they kind of have for me because they brought me here, and it's like, what the heck? I didn't know this was gonna happen. And so, but we just play off that the whole time. So there's like a really good sense of camaraderie and building up, even conflict, complete total party separation, even though I kind of broke that rule and did that at one point, but we wound up coming together, and I think it's actually one of the highlights actually of the campaign because
like
of how
two missions sunk into just getting us back together. But yes, it was definitely interesting,
and that goes back to the patience. But I felt bad in a lot of ways, but then also at the same time I was like, I think this is gonna be really cool though if it's done right. And I think it is because that idea of that I thought about with the people I had conflict with. Now I thought about when this whole campaign's over, where am I going to go from here? And how are they going to be a part of it? Like, they're going to be a part of it because we've been through even so much more, not just physically, but even more emotionally. It was really cool. So kind of a tangent, a little bit of a tangent video. Rob, you got anything else?
No, just remember, like, if you're being patient, then someone who's being empathetic towards you might... be generous and share their spotlight, and you would see that moment that you were patiently waiting for, and that perfect little magical thing can happen that really kind of makes it to where everybody is having fun together. And yes. I think if you're focusing on that, then you're going to have a kind of experience you may not have had otherwise. It might be something new to you that you want that all the time, so you'll just be seeking that out.
For that exact reason, I look forward to every other, either we play Friday or Saturdays. It's so much fun. All right, guys. I appreciate your time. Thank you for letting us send you these tips and things that's going on in our lives and what we're learning. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Again, Apple Podcast, Google Play, Spotify. Did I miss anything? No, I don't think so. And we'll see you guys on the next one. See ya.
All right. See you when we see you.